Anyway, get involved in a life group of some kind. I believe that you'll benefit by it. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I tried the church and I just didn't connect. Well, this is a way to connect. This is a way that you can connect. You can connect with people. And so it's a wonderful thing. We're going to begin a new series today. And this is one of my favorite things to talk about. When I became a Christian, nearly, well, it's 1971, so that's a, what, 42 years ago. In July, I will have been a Christian 42 years, and that's older than some of you, or have longer than you've been here. One of the first messages, and I'm so glad that I got connected to this message, one of the first messages that I was exposed to was the message of faith. And I love the faith message. I know in some circles it's been used in a wrong way. But the message of faith is a very, very powerful message. In fact, it says, and if you got your Bible and you want to flip over with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says this: "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Can we say that together? "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Hebrews tells us that it is without faith, it's impossible to please God. Did you know that works are not the thing that please God? Did you know that just going to church is not the thing that pleases God? What is it that pleases God? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible to please God. See, we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So faith is a very, very important subject in the Word of God. We're going to do a study in the book of James. And we've entitled this message, "Walking Out Your Faith." That's what we're going to be talking about for the next, I don't know how many weeks. I don't know how long it takes to get through the book of James, but we're just going to take our time and go through it and talk about some things. And we're going to talk about what faith is and how it works and what we need to know about our faith life. And we're just going to look at a whole bunch of things that James looked at in the New Testament. And James was a brother of Jesus. And there were certain things that began to rise in that early church that were problems. And we still have those problems today in our culture, in our society. If we're not careful, we can hear one message and we can fixate on that one message, and we can get extremes in it. And in the early church, one of the things was the message of grace, which is a wonderful message. And they were moving away from a religious system that was all based on works. And they were moving away from the works doctrine. And you can move so far away from something that you miss something that's the balance of certain things. And so what James was trying to do, James is known as the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's a book of wisdom. So he was kind of challenging some of those early Christians where the faith works thing was concerned. And we'll get to that later. But this is a wonderful book of the Bible. And if you hadn't read it, you need to do that. Now, we're going to give you a definition. The biblical definition of faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And we're going to be looking at it in the Amplified Bible. And it says this: "Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." In other words, it begins with hope. Hope is a confident expectation. That's what the word hope means. It's something that we confidently expect, but it's something that's out in the future. And what it's saying is that faith is the substance or the title deed of the thing that we hope for out in the future. You know, one of the great hopes of the church today is the return of Jesus Christ. Amen? Y'all, are y'all out there? Third row is, second row, first row. And we call the great hope is the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church, us gathering together unto Him. There's going to be a day when there's no more problems, there's no more sickness, there's no more disease, there's no more deformity, there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears. You know, life is full of all of those kind of things. We deal with those kind of things every day. We deal with disappointments. We deal with all kinds of things. But there's coming a day, the Bible says, and this is our great hope, that when we're gathered unto Him, that He's going to take care of all of those things. Won't that be a wonderful time? Won't that be good? That's called your hope, the blessed hope. Well, there are other things in our lives that we are in lack in. You may lack peace today. You may lack, it could be any number of things that you lack. And the Bible says that faith is the thing that gives substance to the things that we hope for, that we have a confident expectation. Now, where do we get our hope from? We get our hope from the Word of God. Now, this is one of the reasons that we are challenging you this year to read the Bible all the way through. We've got reading plans out there in the Welcome Center. You can read the chronological Bible. You can just read the Bible all the way through. Or there's another plan out there that does some Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. Get on a reading plan. Get on a reading plan. Because Romans 10:17 tells us how faith comes. So then, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. There's only one place that true faith comes from, and that's the book. How many of you know that faith doesn't come by opinion? You know, we all got opinions about certain things. Did you know that there's a strong possibility that your opinion could be wrong about something? Okay? There's one good... I only know one person who has a good opinion about everything, and that's God. And He has given us His book so that we can shape our opinions around His opinion. That's pretty powerful. I've heard people say certain things about God that didn't line up with the book. And they based their whole faith life on something that's not even right. How many of you know that could be devastating? That could be devastating. If you have a belief system, and when we talk about faith, we're talking about a belief system. When you have a belief system that's based on information that is not accurate and correct, that could cost you greatly. See, let's just take for instance, if you believe that you have to earn your way to heaven, and that is your belief system, that's your faith system, and that, how many of you know that's totally against what the Scripture teaches, that we do not earn our way to heaven. It's by grace through faith that we're saved. But if our belief system is something different, that becomes your faith life. And what you believe is what you act out. And if you're acting out on something that's not even accurate, it's not going to take you where you want to be. And I know a lot of people that have, their lives have become messed up because they do not have an accurate faith life. And here's the challenge. As you read your Bible this year, reading the Bible is something that's very important. If you have not started your Bible reading plan, let me encourage you. You can start it today. I started mine in February of last year. And I'm kind of behind everybody now. I'm fixing to wind mine up in early February, and I'm going to start a new one all the way through. This is something that I want to become a habit. Everybody say a habit. It's a good habit. It's a good principle. It's a good practice. It's a good thing. It takes discipline to do this. You say, well, yeah, but I'm not very disciplined. Well, you need to get disciplined in this area of your life. If we are going to grow in faith, guess what we're going to have to do? Faith only comes by one thing, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes from the Word of God. It comes by hearing the Word of God. You know, and what you get on Sunday is not enough to sustain you. As wonderful as I am, I'm kidding. It's not enough to sustain you. You need to be in the book. If you're not in the book, get in the book. Read it through. Allow the book to shape your opinions. Allow the book to shape your belief system. A lot of times Christians try to take scriptures out of context and they try to prove a point that they believe. They try to take the Bible to prove a point when what we need to be doing is allowing the Bible to tell us what we need to believe. Does that make sense? So we need to do that. In the early days when I began to hear about faith, I basically heard faith is two words. And it's a noun and it's a verb. And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. Faith is a noun and faith is a verb. And I heard a lot about the verb faith, which means how you operate in faith. And we're going to talk about that some, and we're going to get into some scripture about that today. But I want to go back a minute and talk about the noun faith. This is kind of what faith is. This is kind of what faith is. And let me give you another word that kind of goes along with this. And it's a word that's become popular in the last few years. It's called worldview. It's how you view your world. It's the eyes in which you see your world through. It is your belief system, right or wrong. It is your belief system. That's why it's so necessary that we constantly are putting the Word of God into us. Because listen, you will always have to change. We will never come to a place in this life that we're not having to do some changing. Have you ever noticed in your life that you've had to change your mind about a few things over the years? Anybody? I've gone through some transformations in what I believed about God, what I believed about salvation, what I believed about certain things. I've had to change over the years. And that change came through reading the scripture and hearing the scripture taught and preached. It's the scripture, the word of God is alive. It's alive. It's a living book. I've heard people say, well, you know what? I've read the Bible through before. I don't need to read it again. Really? Really? The word of God is like an onion. It's like an onion. It has layers. And as you begin to read the Word of God, you peel off a layer. You're not ready for the core yet. You don't get to the core. You just keep peeling off layers, layers, layers. And I heard the president of our Bible school say one time, he says, you know, I've preached on faith. I've preached on Mark 11, 22, 23, 24 in my ministry, probably several thousand times. He had like a 65-year ministry, and his message was the message of faith. And he says, you know, the other day I was meditating on Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and he said, I saw something in it that I'd never seen before. See, sometimes we treat the Bible like we do a novel. We treat the Bible like we do a common book. It's not a common book. It's a living book. The Word of God is quick, that means alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it says it's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. The Word of God, when you hear the Word of God, it penetrates down deep inside of you, and it begins to reveal some things to you about yourself, about your motives and your intent. And that's why we constantly need that in our lives if we are to be constantly growing as Christians. So when we talk about faith as a noun, what faith is, it is your belief system that needs to be growing all the time. You have to come into a relationship with the Word of God. If you do not have a relationship with the Word of God, then I doubt very well, I guarantee you, you're not growing as a Christian. You may be a Christian, but you're not growing as a Christian. Did you know God didn't just save us from hell? He saved us to something. He saved us to glory. He saved us from, to bring us out, to bring us into something in this life as well as the next life. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. You have to feed. You have to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We are easily distracted as Christians. There are so many things around us that distract us. There are so many things that pull for our attention. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves veering off from our purpose, veering off from what we know in our hearts that God has called us to do. Isn't it amazing that when you get busy in life, the very first thing that begins to go is the spiritual part? Well, you know, God knows I'm tired and I need my rest, so I'm not going to read tonight. Have you ever done that? I've done that. Well, I'm not going to pray. It's been a long day. I've been on the phone all day. I've dealt with problems all day. I'm tired. God, just bless me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the first thing that goes if we're not careful? It's the thing that's supposed to be the most important thing to us, and that's our vital fellowship. That's our vital union with God through Christ. It's easy to do that. It's so easy to allow the distractions of life, work and family and recreation and all of those things, as we try to get all of this stuff into our lives on a daily basis, and it's very easy to allow the spiritual to slip. We don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. If we're living a life based on priority, then that has to be a priority. You're building your faith. You're building your faith. Faith is not something that you just get as a gift, although it begins with a gift. You know, the Bible tells us in Mark 11, it says, have faith in God. That's what it says. Have faith in God. One translation says, have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. How do I have the faith of God? Well, faith is a gift, but it's a gift that grows. And it grows by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As our mind is renewed, is shaped by the Scripture, your faith life begins to grow. Your belief system becomes accurate. When you have an accurate belief system, your actions will begin to line up. What you say and what you do will begin to line up with what you believe. It does that anyway. And if you believe something that is not accurate, if you believe something that is not true, your actions and your words line up with that too. And you know what that produces? Nothing. Listen, faith in God will produce the supernatural. Do you ever need any supernatural in your life? Do you ever need God to show up in a big way? Listen, faith in God, operating in God's faith, can produce anything in life that you need. If you read Scripture, you'll know that. If you need certain things in life, Scripture tells you how to line up with that and how to walk in that faith. God really wants to reveal Himself to us in a mighty way. But our belief system is something that we need to be working on. How we see God, what we know about God, and let me tell you, that'll be growing all the time. Because if you ever start meditating on the attributes of God, it will absolutely blow your mind. when I think that God is all powerful, that he's all knowing, that he's, I mean, if you just spend time meditating on those attributes of God, it will blow your mind. We know very little of what there is to know about God. So why do we quit? Why do we become satisfied with where we are when there's so much in life that we can learn? And the more we learn about God, our belief system is strengthened. And what begins to happen out of that, what we do and what we speak comes out of that. And you become something that is very powerful in God's kingdom in the earth. God is looking for people to be powerful for the kingdom in the earth. And it's called walking by faith and not by sight. In fact, faith will give you eyes to see that goes way beyond what you can see with these eyes. What you see with these eyes are limited to sense knowledge. What you can see through the eyes of faith is not limited by sense knowledge. It is a whole lot more. You know, we spent several weeks talking about vision. Vision, what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. Well, vision is something that you see out there that hadn't come to pass yet. What is it that begins to bring that to pass? It's our belief system. If we believe that God wants us to do a certain thing, we begin to line up with that. We begin to line our priorities with that. We begin to line our heart with that. We allow the passion of that thing to shape our heart. Then we begin to line our words with that. And we begin to talk about that. And we begin to release faith with that. But it comes out of your belief system. It's important that our belief system be strong. See, that's the noun of faith. Now, what's the verb of faith? It's how we walk it out. It's how we walk it out. See, we have to have wisdom to do that. In fact, here in the book of James, and we hadn't got into the book of James yet. We'll get into the book of James. But it says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. And that word liberally means without finding fault. God's not interested in finding fault with you. Wisdom will get you out of your problem. Okay? The very thing that we're seeking is the thing that will turn our circumstance and situation of life around where that we can be in a position to be used greater by God. It says, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and doesn't find fault. It says, but let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. For it says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now that word double-minded is the Greek word disuke. Disuke, which means two minds. Two minds. Can you imagine thinking with two minds and they were diametrically opposed to each other? Can you imagine what that would be like? I mean, it would be schizo. I mean, this, your mind says, no, do this. Don't do that. Go over here. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Have you ever seen somebody who's double-minded? They couldn't make a decision about anything. They never did anything because they're so double-minded. And it says that if we're going to get God's wisdom, we have to ask him for that wisdom. And he'll freely give it to us and he won't find fault. But says, but you got to ask in faith. We don't need to be tossed like a ship in the wind at sea. We need a strong belief system. We need to know some things about faith that we're going to talk about these next few weeks. I want to encourage you to be here for these services. If you can't be here, watch it online. If If you're not where you can watch it online, it'll be posted during the week and you can go back and watch it. Can I tell you something? If you call this your church home, you're responsible for everything that's preached here. You're responsible to hear it. And we have tried to make it very, very easy for you to hear it. If you can't be here, you can watch it either live or you can watch the recording of it so that you know what you're responsible for. There's more to being a church than just showing up for worship services. Did you know that? We're responsible. We have a mission from God as a church. We have a part of the Great Commission with God that He has assigned us certain things that we need to do as a church, that where we need to go and what we need to be about. And so we all have to stay on the same page where those things are concerned. So hear what the messages are designed to do. We're on a mission. We're on a journey. We have something that we've got to get accomplished for the kingdom. And I believe that there are people's eternal destiny depends on us hearing God, knowing His wisdom for us, and us by faith aligning our hearts with that and begin to walk it out, begin to speak the same thing, begin to go in the same direction, give towards the same direction. I believe that all of those things are important. I believe all those things have to do with our faith. Amen. Now, there's general faith. There's faith that we can read about in the Bible. But there's other things that come to us because we have read the Bible. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible that it tells us to go to Cameroon and plant a church. But there are things that we read in the Bible that the Holy Spirit can bring to us as we spend time with Him in the Word, that He can plant that in our hearts and we can set our hearts on it, and God can get to us the wisdom to do what we need to do. We get all kinds of things from all kinds of mission stuff all the time through the mail. We could be so strung out on trying to do, and we're talking about good things, good ministries. But I don't want to just support good ministries. I want to support the ministries that we're supposed to support. I want to partner with the people and the ministries that we're supposed to partner with. And that's why I bring them in here and let you see them and let you see their hearts and let you see what they're about, so that we can get a witness of the Holy Spirit that we're supposed to partner with these people and do the things for the kingdom that we're supposed to do. God's got a great work for believers. I said God's got a great work for believers. Amen. All of us. All of us. And it's going to take all of us working together, praying together, giving together, serving together. It's going to take all of us united to do what we're supposed to do. So let's not get distracted. Let's not get distracted and pull in different directions. Let's stay on course. Let's take this year. Let's continue to grow in our faith. Allow your faith life to grow. It'll grow. It'll grow. As you feed on the Word of God this year, in your daily time, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to speak to you. Dare the Holy Spirit to correct you. That's hard, isn't it? Because sometimes we like the direction that we're going. But what if that's not the direction of our faith? What if that's just something that we desire? What if that's just a distraction? I dare you. Ask the Holy Spirit to correct you, to bring you back to where you need to be, where your purposes are concerned. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. I didn't set out to say all that. But I came here early this morning and I said, God, I want you to speak. I want you to speak today. I want you to talk to people. I want you to talk to their hearts. And I know that the Holy Spirit has said some things to you today that I didn't say. He might have taken one thing that I said and and said something else to you that you needed, that was tailor-fitted to what it is that you need in your life. Now, my question to you is, what are you going to do with what the Holy Spirit said to you today? And that's where we need to come to grips with. Maybe He said to you, yes, I got to get in the Word. I got to get in the Word. I went to a luncheon the other day. And going for a good time. Eat. Fellowship. See some guys that had this kind of same heart that we do. And lo and behold, if Pastor Siebling didn't get up and talk about prayer and the need for personal prayer and the need to spend time in prayer and fasting. And guess what the Holy Spirit said to my heart? You've neglected prayer. You've neglected personal prayer. That's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear something like, oh, you're doing so good. Good, 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 good. And we are doing some good things. But just always hearing something good, 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 good is not always something that makes you grow, 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 grow. Sometimes we need the correction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are you willing for that to happen? I think that's my question to you today. Are you tired of the course that your life is on? Then invite the Holy Spirit to bring correction. See, the Word of God is profitable for instruction, correction, reproof, and rebuke. It's profitable for all those things. Who's it profitable for? It's profitable for you. It may not seem pleasant at the time, but when you line up with it, it will yield fruit of righteousness for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for correction, for instruction, for reproof. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today in many, many different ways, through the music, through the teaching, and above all, for what you said beyond the teaching to the individual heart. Lord God, may we have the grace and may we have the courage individually and as a church to receive what you have for us and cause it to make a difference in our lives. I thank you today in Christ's name. Amen. I want to, before you go today, I want to tell you about a